Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit olathekia.com.
Joining us now on NFL Live, KC, for our Miller Lite feature of the show is Sports Illustrated fantasy and gambling analyst Ben Heisler. Ben, how's it going?
What's up, Allie? Good to be on with you. Good to talk some football and some life. It's good to have that conversation.
Let's start with what your role is at Sports Illustrated and what you do there.
My role is about 1,000 pages long, it feels like, but I've really enjoyed it. I've started there since the end of May. I'm running a lot of the different things on the fantasy side and on the gambling side. And I think if anybody's listening that's saying, well, how are those two related? They're related in more ways than you think. So much, especially when you're playing daily fantasy, is all about determining where a lot of the different numbers are coming from, where you're going to strategize to try and determine what lineups you want to go with, if you're going to be stacking teams, what teams has had a solid over-under total, which teams are being steamed in the right direction from Vegas. So these are all different ways that are being paired together. And it's nice to sort of be at the intersection of both sports betting and sports fantasy. So I do a variety of roles, host a lot of videos, podcasts. I'm an analyst for SI's fantasy coverage for football, for baseball. And on the gambling side, it's trying to determine sort of the best plays of the day and sort of see where a lot of the movement and the sharp action is going.
Well, let's focus on NFL because this show is NFL Live, KC, and we're going to do a lot of Chiefs and NFL talk throughout this segment here. But I think one of the biggest questions ahead of the 2020 season is just how much the coronavirus could change fantasy football and sports betting. What can you tell us about all of the uncertainty ahead with this novel virus?
I think we're starting to see it already, right? Think about how the first cases broke out in Miami with the Marlins just a few days ago on Sunday. They had, you know, maybe 3-4 diagnosed cases, and the Marlins had to come up with an evaluation based on what baseball decided that they should do. And they said, well, we're still going to play, and we're going to try and get those other guys out of there. Now the Marlins have 17 confirmed cases of coronavirus, and you're already starting to see that their entire week has been postponed of the MLB schedule, and that's going to affect the other teams that are involved as well. Now you have football where you have guys just breathing right on top of each other, and you're going to see situations where it's going to spread very, very quickly. I don't know how, Allie, they're going to be able to find a way to pull this off unless they come to a last-minute bubble type of agreement where they play in a couple of the different stadiums in maybe Los Angeles, or then bring the San Diego stadium back as well and try to figure out maybe something to do in an area where they can actually isolate themselves. But I think you're starting to see a little bit of what that initial inclination might look like and how it's going to work. And especially from the betting side and from the fantasy side, I think more than ever, it is going to be critical to follow for last minute breaking news. You're going to have situations where, let's say you draft Ezekiel Elliott with the number 4 overall pick in the first round. Reliable, consistent back, someone that's been there for the last several years that you can know you can plug and play. What if Ezekiel Elliott tests positive for corona? It could happen by not necessarily any fault of his own. So having depth in your fantasy teams is important. Following beat writers, you can get that little bell on Twitter that tells you when somebody has some breaking news. Adam Schefter from ESPN. All those guys are going to be so important to follow and make sure that you're on top of it so that you can make moves and adapt. You can't just set it and forget it this year with your fantasy teams.
That is such a good point. I mean, I feel like everyone already is so plugged in, but more so than ever before, it's going to be crucial for how your team performs, because if a player is unavailable, then, I mean, it just is going to shake everything up. And I have no idea what that is going to look like exactly yet. But when it comes to the players opting out, I mean, how does that change how the boards are playing out? There haven't been any high profile players yet to opt out, but how do you see that potentially changing the landscape here in the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think maybe one key offensive player has been Brandon Bolden with the Patriots, who saw his role get elevated probably to like the number 3 running back. But again, it's the Patriots. So they have 1,000 different guys in that role anyway. You know, there's been some potential early reports that Nick Foles of the Chicago Bears might consider opting out. His wife is autoimmune compromised. Certainly that's something that, you know, I'm very aware of, you know, over at home, knowing sort of what the coronavirus can do. But I just think it's another one of those situations, Allie, where you're going to see a lot of bench players, guys that maybe we would consider as sort of a late round flyer in like the 14th or your 15th round of your fantasy leagues, or maybe just the players that are hanging on to the waiver wire, where you normally wouldn't have much use for them, but they could get thrust into a starting role from the very beginning. So it is going to be essential to watch where a lot of these opt-outs are coming in, because I think players have until beginning of August to make that determination. So I would probably wait until the opt-outs come in before I'm drafting in a league. But for anybody that's drafting earlier, definitely something to pay attention to.
That's so interesting. And that's such a good point too, with diversifying from the teams that you're even picking and having players make up your roster, because like you said, an outbreak could happen. But let's get into the Chiefs, because people in Kansas City, I'm sure, will be looking to add value with some of the Kansas City players, and starting with some of the skill position players like Tyreek, Travis Kelce, Mecole Hardman. Where do they stack up right now compared to other players in their position across the league?
Definitely. So let's start with the man, the $500 million man in Pat Mahomes. Although I don't know if you necessarily wanted to go there, but we can start with him anyway. He's the number one quarterback off the board for me. And normally in fantasy leagues, I try to wait on quarterbacks, because if you look at the actual point value at the position, there's not much of a difference between quarterback 3 and quarterback 11 most of the time. Now, the last 2 years, Mahomes has blown that out of the water. Same thing with Lamar Jackson a season ago. They just completely obliterated where the usual projections are. So I think Mahomes and then Lamar Jackson for me, and then Dak Prescott round out that 1-2. But there's such a gap, Allie, between Lamar and Dak, upwards of maybe 2.5 rounds when it comes to your average draft position. So I think Mahomes, if you want to take him maybe in the mid to late third round, that's probably fair value. The thing is, in Kansas City, most likely he'll be gone by then, so you probably have to reach for them. Other skill positions, Tyreek Hill. I think a lot of fantasy players might be feeling a little bit burned by him based on the injuries a season ago. That's not really fair. Yeah. Based on that offense, though, you can make a legitimate argument that after Michael Thomas with the Saints, after Devontae Adams with the Packers, he's in that conversation for the number 3, number 4 wide receiver off the board. And that's among the mix of DeAndre Hopkins and Julio Jones. He's not going to get the amount of targets that those guys do just because the Chiefs spread it around. But he's the clear-cut number 1 receiving option in this offense, and it's the best offense in the league. So I think you can make an argument that based on efficiency alone, Tyreek Hill belongs in the conversation. And I think he's a very valuable first-round pick. Travis Kelce, probably my number 2 tight end off the board. And a lot of people might say, well, he's been the number 1 tight end the last 3 years. What's changed? He still has Mahomes, likely back for a full 16 games. I give the slight edge to George Kittle because he's a little bit younger. Kelce hasn't hit any sort of injury concerns yet. He's starting to approach the wrong side of 30. And I just think Kittle is going to, yeah, I was going to say I'm on the wrong side of 30 now, so who am I to talk? But George Kittle, I think, is going to see much more volume this year. The 49ers are going to have to pass more. Their defense is going to take a step back. We saw the regression happen with the Bears a couple seasons ago. I think you're going to see the same thing with the 49ers this year. And I think that just elevates Kittle because there's no other weapons around him that match up to what Kansas City has. So Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, still upward top tier targets, but I like Hill just a little bit more than Kelce this year.
And then Mecole Hardman, the rookie who had a great season last year despite having a limited number of snaps. Where do you envision him coming into play this season and what his draft value is?
He's so hard to project, Allie, because the efficiency numbers were off the chain. It was part of the reason for the first few years that I faded Tyreek Hill. Now, I look like an idiot because of it, but I always thought, okay, I want my wide receivers to get a ton of volume, especially if you're playing, you know, in a points per reception, a PPR league. You want those guys just to get fed the football as much as humanly possible. And then you had Tyreek, who was just changing the dynamic of how he was going after the deep ball, how he was continuing to have maximum yards after the catch. And it completely changed the way that we looked at him as a part of that conversation. You know, with Mecole Hardman, he's only going to see the field about maybe 40, 50% of the snaps. DeMarcus Robinson actually is on the field more often than Mecole Hardman. The difference is that when Mecole is on the field, he's able to get in a few different targets. He's able to maximize his efficiency. So I think he's worth a flyer. You know, if you're looking for high upside wide receivers, especially if Watkins or Tyreek Hill go down, then all of a sudden Mecole Hardman gets inserted in and he becomes a dynamic factor. He's probably not going until the 11th, 12th round in most fantasy drafts. I think that's probably the likely place for him. And again, too, this is a position with so much depth at the wide receiver spot that I don't think you necessarily need to reach on somebody like Mecole Hardman unless you believe that it's just going to line up well for him just because of how other injury concerns can happen in the NFL.
Ben, another thing I think is interesting with fantasy drafts each year is overvalued players versus sleepers. So who's your biggest sleeper and most overrated, overhyped player for fantasy this year?
We'll start with the overvalued guy. I have some major concerns this year when it comes to Austin Eckler. I'm a big Austin Eckler fan with the Chargers. I think his skill set is dynamic in this league. He caught, I think, 94 passes a season ago. But it also came from Phillip Rivers, who was one of the best at checking down to running backs in the league. And with Tyrod Taylor, I just don't know if that's going to happen as much this year. Austin Eckler is going upwards in the end of the first round, early second round. And I do have some concerns as to whether or not he's going to live up to that type of value. If we're looking for a couple guys to bounce back at the running back spot, as far as sleepers go, James Conner with Pittsburgh is really intriguing to me. He's going off the board as the running back 22 on the board for a guy that gets a ton of volume in Pittsburgh's offense. Mike Tomlin has said they like running backs to get three down work. And the guys that are going around them, Raheem Mostert, David Johnson, Melvin Gordon, Jonathan Taylor, who may not be the starter in Indianapolis, those guys aren't going to be the number one starters, and James Conner is. So if he can stay healthy, he has running back one upside, which is, you know, running back one through running back 12. One other guy really quickly, Darius Geis with the Washington football team. He's somebody that has not been able to stay on the field, and injuries have just been really costly to him. But Ron Rivera is their new head coach. Christian McCaffrey just played in that offense the last several years, and they've even noticed some similar comparisons within his ability to break tackles and catch the ball out of the backfield. If you get Darius Geis right now, you can get him in the 7th or 8th round. He has running back one upside. That's where they drafted him. And so if you can go ahead and take a flyer on somebody like that, assuming he stays healthy, assuming with his ability to catch passes, I think that's really exceptional value.
A lot of great insight here. I will definitely be going back and listening to this, taking notes when I'm putting together my fantasy team. The Chiefs' defense really surprised people last season and seemed to get better as the weeks went on. When you look at the Chiefs' defense, how do they stack up against the rest of the league? And now that defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo is going into his second year with the team.
They were terrific down the stretch of the season, and I don't think a lot of people give them credit. I think they look at the overall body of work and say, oh, this is probably, you know, a top 6 to 10 defense, when I think they have the ability to be top 5. It's just, again, going to be dependent on their injury situation. Chris Jones coming back is such a big move for them. To be able to have him and Frank Clark as part of that 4-3 defense is really intriguing. You still have Tyrann Mathieu making plays in the backfield as well. I'm excited about where they rank because I actually think there's good value on them. Right now, the Chiefs are coming in as the fantasy 8 defense off the board. They're going just ahead of Denver and just before the New Orleans Saints. Now, typically, I like to change out defenses every week. I like to play the matchups, but a lot of people like, all right, I want to get my stud defense. I want to get the Chiefs. I want to get the Ravens or the Steelers or the 49ers. And again, that's perfectly fine. But, you know, with Kansas City, I think a lot of people are going to sleep on them because they're going to see some of those bad numbers from the first part of the season and know that they have a terrific pass rush, know that they have the ability to force turnovers, get some big interceptions. You know, somebody like Tyrann Mathieu makes such a big difference when it comes to adding up fantasy points on the defensive side. So I probably won't draft the Chiefs defense. I'm usually not spending a lot of draft capital with defenses or kickers for that matter, but I totally understand why somebody would, because I think they have a chance, even though they're being drafted in the top 10, to be a top 5 fantasy defense this year.
Okay, speaking of kickers before we move on, Harrison Butker has really moved his way into potentially being one of the best in the league at his position. Where does he stack up? And you said you don't spend a lot of draft capital there, but for someone who might, how is Harrison Butker as a pick?
He's the number one pick off the board with this type of offense. I think, you know, maybe you can make an argument for Justin Tucker of the Baltimore Ravens. Both the Chiefs and the Ravens offense are going to be awesome this year. And they're both terrific, accurate kickers with a lot of range as well. So you can flip-flop between Butker and Justin Tucker. Will Lutz of the New Orleans Saints is probably number 3 on that list. And then after that, it's just a complete and total toss-up. So if you want to spend a little early capital on Harrison Buttkicker on buttkicker.com, you know, I probably wouldn't advise it, but I would also understand it just because he's been a stud.
Yeah, no, you can't deny his impact on the field, but I'm with you. Maybe not the best advice to go early, but if in your draft he's there, might not be a bad pickup. We are visiting with Ben Heisler of Sports Illustrated for our Miller Lite feature of the show here tonight. And now I want to get your thoughts on a storyline that's really piqued your interest as it relates to fantasy football, because there have been some crazy moves. I mean, Cam Newton to the Patriots, and that's just one of many others. What storyline are you following, especially as it relates to fantasy drafts?
Well, besides the ones that we talked about of who's deciding to be opting out, you know, where exactly a lot of these waiver wire pickups are going to come on, I think the quarterback position is probably where I'm focused on the most. You brought up Cam Newton. That's a fascinating angle. Cam Newton in 2018 was on pace to be the number four fantasy quarterback in the league, and then he got hurt. The shoulder went completely haywire, and he couldn't complete a pass. They ended up sitting him for the rest of the year, and we saw what happened last year. What type of Cam are we going to get in New England? Are they going to maximize his strengths? Are they going to allow him to run? You know, part of what made Cam so special and to rack up fantasy points was he was somebody that could extend plays, be able to get touchdowns in the red zone, get an extra 6 points as a running touchdown instead of 4 points as a passing touchdown. So I'm fascinated to see what Cam Newton in New England is going to look like. I don't think they're the weapons around him are necessarily that great. Julian Edelman is 1,000 years old and their running game isn't particularly intriguing, but he has back-end quarterback one upside in New England. It'll just be a question of whether or not the weapons around him will be enough and whether or not he's truly healthy. And then I want to know whether or not Lamar Jackson can do it again. I am on Team Lamar, Allie, because I think that skill set in that offense with Greg Roman is special. He has a ton of confidence. He has really good receivers and Mark Andrews and Marquise Brown around him. There's a ton of versatility. They have incorporated a really good running game. They drafted J.K. Dobbins out of Ohio State, who I think has an opportunity to be a stud with Mark Ingram in the backfield this year. Their offense runs really well through him. But he was also insanely efficient last year. And I don't know whether or not that's going to be the case. I don't know whether or not his body will be able to hold up from all those hits. So I'm buying on him, but I need to make sure that he can do it for another consecutive year. And I think a lot of the public is curious to find that out as well. So quarterbacks, 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 those will be the big opportunities. And one more, I think Kyler Murray in year number two with the big trade of DeAndre Hopkins now in Arizona. Cardinals are kind of a sneaky team, especially with the Rams after a lot of their spotlight in LA has started to move down the side a little bit. So I think Arizona has a chance to make a little bit of noise if their defense can improve. But Kyler Murray, we've seen the last 2 years, second-year quarterbacks win the MVP. Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and now Kyler Murray might be a sneaky MVP candidate here in 2020.
When we look at how the coronavirus pandemic is going to impact the gambling world, which I'll be honest, I don't know too much about, what can you tell us about what is going to occur this season and maybe how that will impact the next couple of years to come?
It's going to be fascinating. And especially, I think you're going to see two waves when it comes from a sports betting perspective. You know, most of the lines, let's, you know, keep it in the NFL. Most of the early lines are coming out Sunday night from the sports books once most of the games are done. You know, the Westgate out in Las Vegas is one of those sports books that really tries to get the lines out early. I think you're going to see it in two different ways. You're going to see a lot of sharp bettors attack a line early the way that they typically do, because that's how the line tends to move. It's where the money comes in. It's not necessarily the amount of bets that come in. It's where the money goes. Follow the money, and that likely leads you into determining where the proper line should be. I think you're still going to see that from a lot of sharp bettors. Now, I also believe you are going to see Vegas probably have to take some games off the board, especially as more information comes out. Let's say the Cowboys are playing the Eagles, and we talked about Ezekiel Elliott. Let's say Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott, 3 hours before the game, test positive for the coronavirus. If they're in Philadelphia, let's say it's an evenly matched game, that makes the Eagles probably -3 favorites at home. All of a sudden, if those guys are out, you could see the line jump maybe upwards of 4 or 5 points. So that's the value for the sharp bettors that got on that line early if they have that early information. But for the public, you know, the public's going to have to adjust on the fly as well. If they hear that Dallas's quarterback and running back are out, then they're immediately going to want to jump on the Eagles, and that's going to provide more liability. So I think you're going to see more sports books probably take a more conservative approach until they really feel like they have a better handle on this. But I know that they need the action right now, certainly with coronavirus playing a role there. That's taken away some of their opportunities to bet in person. But you're going to see more sports books really be careful on this, because the more inside information that starts to come in, that could be very damaging to their bottom line.
Yeah, that's a great point. And again, just so much uncertainty ahead of a season too for the NFL. If we're looking at, you know, that league specifically, there were already so many great things to look for just on the football field alone with the draft and some of the changes that were made and trades that happened during the offseason. And now you throw this into the mix as well. It's going to be absolutely insane. Ben, thank you so much for the time. Where can people find your work and follow along for more fantasy and gambling tips?
Yeah, I appreciate it, Allie. They can find me on the tweet machine at Benny Heiss. And you can also go to si.com/fantasy or si.com/gambling. We have probably upwards of 4 to 6 stories coming out every day. You know, some of our insiders on the fantasy side are some of the best fantasy players in the world. I would not put myself amongst them. That's why I have the privilege of working with them. You know, somebody like Sean Childs has been one of the high stakes winners in the fantasy football world championships the last several years. He has brilliant projections. So I love the fact that I can learn a little bit from him each day as well. And then some of our gambling information has been terrific as well. So there's plenty of content, SI Fantasy, SI Gambling. So yeah, Ellie, there's a ton of content that we have each and every day. It's always a lot of fun, especially with so much happening all at once. You have the NBA about to come back, same with the NHL. Major League Baseball in the full swing of things, hopefully. And then, of course, NFL is our bread and butter. So it's always a ton of fun, especially with so much happening all at once.
It's going to be a blast. And we will be following along for sure. And we'll have to have you on again here soon. That was Ben Heisler of Sports Illustrated right here on NFL Live KC. We're going to take a break and we'll be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.